Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
God will do more than we think. God will do more than we have faith for if we just simply trust, not in our ability to believe, but in His ability to perform His word. See, faith doesn't come from how much belief we can conjure up. Faith simply comes by trusting in who God is and what God can do. And you don't really believe that God, what God can do, until you believe that He can do more than what you can do for yourself. Come on. So, they didn't have faith, yet a miracle happened. Therefore, this miracle wasn't unlocked by faith, but this miracle was to teach them a principle. This miracle was designed to teach them a principle. See, we're coming, we're entering into the end. This is the last month of this official year. And I just really sense that there is something that God is releasing over the body of Christ specifically, but over the world today. That the church forgot that God is not performance driven. God is not showy. God is not theatrical. What I mean by that is God doesn't do things to get our applause. Okay? The devil likes to do that. You see, when when he delivered the people out, the people of Egypt out of Israel, and he brought them through his mighty hand, and there were miracles, one after the other. When God delivered the people out of Egypt, he performed miracles. He split the Red Sea. He caused plagues to come. He caused frogs to come. And he caused all this stuff to happen in Egypt. But we don't see that as a trend all throughout the Bible, do we? God doesn't deliver people that way all the time. Okay? The church today has become addicted to sensationalism. And then we believe that God will only move when there's noise, when there's loud, you know, boisterous, thunderous happenings all around us, that's God. And I want to let you know, church, God is not showy. That God would love to just get your attention when you're walking to the bus stop and nobody else is around you. God wants to speak to you right there. Come on. When you're going to sleep at night and you're starting to doze off, and then God just says, now I got your attention. And He just wants to speak to you right there. In peace, you'll find His presence. And one of the reasons why we want to be a people of order, and we want to be a people of that's living in this thing called peace, pursuing peace, is because in that atmosphere of peace, in that atmosphere when we are at rest, God will release more to us in that moment than we could ever try to do when we're working for Him. Okay? And that's the Mary Martha situation, right? Mary wanted to, is it Mary? Or was it Martha? Martha wanted to work when Jesus showed up in their house, and she wanted to cook and impress Jesus with her cooking. Said, I'm going to the kitchen. But then the Bible says that Mary chose to sit at His feet and just listen to His voice. And then Jesus responded to Martha, who said, Lord, don't you care that she's just sitting here? She should be in the kitchen helping me. Jesus said, no, she chose the better part. She chose the better part. I really believe we're in a time when God is looking for people who are going to choose peace, choose rest, choose to sit at His feet, and listen for His voice. Because there's something that He wants to teach us. See, He doesn't just want us to get miracles. He wants us to learn His principles. See, that's called living a life of wisdom. Most of us want to live miracle to miracle. That's not God's intention for us as sons and daughters of God. We shouldn't have to live miracle after miracle. Because now we're looking for mercy to come to correct what our disobedience creates in our lives. We only need miracles because we're doing something out of order. We need a miracle of healing because we weren't eating right. Come on. We need a miracle of prosperity and provision because we didn't spend our money right. We didn't handle our money right. And then we need God to release supernatural debt cancellations. All right? But we didn't manage our money. So if you live by principles, you don't need miracles. Come on. Miracles are awesome. But for you as a believer, that's not supposed to be your daily life. Or in other words, you can ask for miracles to come for others. You want to be in a place where you walk in the wisdom of God in such a way that when people around you come to you with problems and issues, you can release a miracle for them. That's where I want to get to. That's where I'm determined to live from. This place where I walk out of the principles of God. See, when you all know the wisdom of God and you know the principles of God, you can release miracles for people. Because I can show you, hey, if you follow A, B, and C, this will happen. That's when you live a principled life. If you do it God's way, this is the response. Matthew 6:33, we know it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? His righteousness, or that simply means his way of doing things. Seek first, before everything else. It is say seek only. Seek first the kingdom and the kingdom's righteousness, or the kingdom's principles. See, a principle is a way you do something. And the principle says, if you do it this way, this will happen. How many of you know principles? The beautiful part about a principle is that whether you believe in it or not, if you live by it, it'll produce certain results. Right? Principles will work whether you believe it or not. But if you work the principle itself will work for you. So Solomon tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. I believe that this is the age of wisdom for the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, there is a wisdom that's been reserved for the church. There's a wisdom that's been reserved for people who want to seek the kingdom, who want to seek God's way and seek God's will. God has reserved, I believe, certain nuggets of truth and certain nuggets of wisdom that he will only give to his sons and daughters, people who have a pure heart, people who have a desire to do things his way, that he's going to begin to show you how to succeed in 2016 and 2017 and beyond. That there is a wisdom that worked for 1950 and 1980 that many of you still try to live by. And God is saying, no, there's a new stream of wisdom that I'm releasing today for the people who want to know how to prosper today. See, that's why there's a reset that's coming, because what worked in the 1900s isn't going to work in the 2000s and beyond. Hallelujah. Come on. And some of you are taking advice from people that has outdated wisdom. And they're telling you how you're going to prosper today, how you're going to succeed today. But that worked in the 80s. That ain't going to work today. So you better stay in tune to the heartbeat of God and what God is saying. Because God wants to speak to us and give us new insight, new revelation, new wisdom for today. Amen. All right. So I said all that to say, a man or a woman of order are people who have decided a man or woman of order are those who have decided to be a man or woman of principles. Amen? I want you to learn how to live a principled life. A principled life. When you live by principles, you can determine your success. Success is not something that you have to guess. If you live by the principles will work for you. Hallelujah. That should excite you. Because I see so many Christians going around like they don't know what to do. No, get a principle and work the principle. That's faith. Faith is not a hypothesis. It's not an educated guess. You don't have to guess with faith. All right, let me You don't have to guess faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? The word of God, what God has to say. You take a principle from his word, and you live by it, and you don't have to guess if it's going to work. The Bible says what sets God apart from other people is that God is not a man that he should lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So when God says something, it's impossible for it not to come to pass. He said, my word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish everything that I set out for it to do. So if we believe that, and we believe that the word of God is the word of God, we will take the word of God and apply it to our lives. And we won't complain about if our lives are going somewhere we don't want it to go. Because all I can do is trace my failure to a principle I didn't abide by. That's all. I'm failing in this area because there was a principle I failed to apply in that area. Bottom line. It's not a mystery. There's something that I'm missing. Come on. Every problem in life is linked to a principle we failed to honor. Write that down. Every problem in life is linked to a principle we failed to honor. And like I said, most times we need miracles because we ignored principles that brought our lives into disorder. So, as we've seen in Mark 4, principles unlock miracles. If you're going through something and you get a principle, the principle will unlock the miracle that you need. Okay? And that's why you'll find that when Jesus performed miracles in Scripture, he always spent time to teach. He didn't just go places just blessing people and releasing miracles. He taught. Come on. He instructed them. Because after the miracle, we need a principle. Come on. After the miracle, church, you need a principle. So that's why somebody can be prayed for, receive a healing miracle, and then a month later, that sickness comes back. Because there was a principle you failed to abide by. Are you getting this? After the miracle, you need a principle. Say, I need a principle. All right, and wisdom is the principal thing. Those who are the most successful in life have learned this truth. They learn the principles behind their breakthroughs. Okay? So if I was to ask you, because like I said, I want to teach you what I'm supposed to spend the next 18 minutes talking about today, is that I'm concluding. We talked about the four reset buttons, that I gave you guys four keys to learning how to reset your life. And again, you don't have to try to do everything all at once. All you need to do is take one principle and work it and bring success and bring order there, and you'll find that the quality of your life will start to improve, okay? So, we spent our time the first reset button that you can push is learning how to get clarity in your life. Learning how to be decisive about what you want in life. That until you learn how to decide what you really want, you'll never arrive anywhere, okay? You need to know what you want so that you can pursue it and begin to arrive at that goal or that destination, all right? So clarity, deciding what you want. The second reset button that we touched on, I believe, was routines. Did we talk about routines? Habits? All right, we talked about routines and habits. The other reset button we pushed. Last week, we talked about attitudes, all right? The reset button of attitudes. If you can learn how to live from a grateful heart and develop an attitude of gratitude. You know, gratitude is more than an attitude. It's a principle, okay? So if you learn how to be grateful, even when you don't feel like it, say, Lord, I'm thankful. I only got two cents in my bank account. Lord, I'm grateful. That's working on principle, right? Because principles don't have anything to do with your feelings, okay? So I don't have to feel thankful to say I'm thankful. Because if I understand it's a principle that whatever I'm grateful for or whatever I appreciate appreciates in my life. Whatever I appreciate increases in value. All right, so if I work that principle, say, Lord, I'm thankful. I only got 2 cents in my bank account, but I'm thankful for those 2 cents. That 2 cents will find a way to increase because I worked the principle, and the principle will release the miracle. All right? You can take my word for it. I want you to take my word for it. I want you to look at something that's failing or something that you see. It looks like everything is going wrong. Just look at that situation. Say, Lord, I'm grateful. Thank you for it. Because all things are working together for my good. Amen. It's a principle. And the last principle I want to talk about today is the principle of time management. Hallelujah. Time management. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm working this principle, and I'm learning how to apply this into my life, because I'm not the best on time. And as I look around, I see that we are people of color, and so I know you guys are not all far behind me. All right? To the point where we say CP time is not central time, but colored people time. Because compared to our Caucasian brothers and sisters, we have a bad habit of starting everything late, right? And not being on time. But it's important because time is money. Time is money. There is an enormous value that time has for our success. And I've always found that the most successful people that I've ever met in life always were good with time. The most successful people I meet in life, they're great on time. And if you can be great with time, you can be great with money. You ever realize that? The people who struggle with money more than likely struggle with time. Look at the connection there. Facts, as the Ingrid say. If you're not good with time, you won't be good with money. Now, it's amazing because I went back and I looked at my journal. And if you don't journal, I encourage everybody, those of you that have took the Equipping Center, or been a part of the Equipping Center, our school of ministry, or if you just have been a part of some of our teachings that happens on Tuesdays, I always encourage people to start journaling. And I look back at a journal entry I wrote. I got this app on my phone called Day One. It's a journal. It's an app for journaling. And I encourage you, if you want to check it out, you should get it. And it was amazing. I looked at my day one journal. I opened it. I downloaded it on April 2nd. April 2nd, a month before Preston was born. And as I was praying, what I do is I pray and I ask the Lord to speak to me about what he wants to speak to me about. And I write down what I sense that the Lord is speaking to me about. So I opened up my journal on April 2, April 2nd. And when I opened it up, I forgot what I wrote. And I opened it up this morning. I just felt led to go back and look at it. And I went all the way down. And the first thing I see on day one of me using the app day one was the Lord speaking to me about order. I totally forgot. That was my first entry. It was about order. And I was praying specifically about the fact that I was about to have a son. And I was asking the Lord, what do I need to do to prepare as my son is going to be born? And inside of the journal, the Lord said to me that you need to schedule your days. And this was the thought he gave me. He said, an organized day creates an organized life. An organized day creates an organized life. If you want to organize your life, you have to start by organizing your day. If you can't organize a day, you can never organize your life. He said, unorganized time is an organized crime to your day. Unorganized time is an organized crime to your day. So that's why you got a journal, because God tells you things you would never think of on your own. Unorganized time is an organized crime to your days. All right? When you don't schedule your day and plan out your days effectively, you are criminalizing your life, because you're losing out on opportunities. You're losing out on possibilities that your days can create for you if you had a plan. There's a story I want to share, a parable. It says this. Imagine, watch this. Imagine that there's a bank that you join that credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening, the bank deletes whatever part of the balance you fail to use during the day. So what would you do? Spend it all, take it out, do something else with it, right? Well, each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning, time credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night, it writes off as lost whatever of the time you fail to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day opens a new account for you. And each night it burns the remains of the day. So if you fail to use the deposits of time you have every day, there's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow, okay? You can't take credit out on time. He gives you 86,000. We all have the same amount of time every day, don't we? Right? Beyonce doesn't have more time than you. Donald Trump doesn't have more time than y'all. Got the same amount of time. I want to give you guys some principles for time management. What I did was, actually that same day, I was reading a book called Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald. And again, I want you to, if you want, write that down, write that book down. You can check it out when you get a chance. Ordering Your Private World. And inside of the book, he has McDonald's laws of managed time or time management. So I want to give you some of those principles and some of the principles that I found that have worked for me in order for me to assure that my days can be more effective. Now remember, time management is a principle, okay? If you manage your time more effectively, your overall success level will enhance, be increased. How many people want to improve on their time management? See, these are some of the things that we just are not taught. We're not taught this in school, right? They don't teach you this in school. There's so much more I can say, but I don't want to get straight to the principles, and maybe I can get a chance to backtrack on it. All right, here's the first law, McDonald's laws of unmanaged time. So number one, unmanaged time flows towards your weaknesses. You ever realize that? Right? Your time, if you got idle time, you never just say, hi, I'm going to create a website with my extra time. Your extra time doesn't just ever just go say, I'm going to read a book today. You will find time to waste time when you don't manage your time. Come on. This actually, if you know physics, is connected to the second law of thermodynamics. I don't want to get too deep. But the second law of thermodynamics simply says this, that everything, energy flows towards disorder. Things flow towards disorder. And it's real simple, really, 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 real basic. What that means is this: if you had food on this table and you left it there, the food won't shift to incorruptibility, but it will start to corrupt. Then it will start to break down, that the molecular structure of the food over time will begin to break apart and it will begin to decay. That's the second law of thermodynamics at work. That without any type of external assistance or external force, some things in your life will begin to flow towards disorder rather than order. Right? Like, that's why you realize if you leave things for itself, it'll never put itself in order. It'll never find itself rightly arranged. That you have to put things in order. Alright? If you leave a garden unto itself, that garden won't just grow flowers and plants and you know, all the weeds will just take care of itself. No, in this life, in this earth, maybe in heaven, but in earth, that garden will grow weeds. And the weeds will begin to choke the plants, and you'll find that that garden is not healthy because you have to prune it. You have to cultivate it. You have to take care of it. That's the life, the world that we live in today, that whatever you don't manage flows towards weakness. All right? Number two, principle number two. Unmanaged time comes under the influence of dominant people in your world. Unmanaged time comes under the influence of dominant people in your world. The people that's closest to you or important to you will tell you what you're going to do with your time if you don't manage your time. Right? If my wife doesn't know what I'm doing with my time, she got a laundry list of things that I need to do. The most dominant people in my life are my family, my wife, and my kids. Same thing with my children. If they don't know what I do with my time, then they will take up my time. There's nothing wrong with giving my time, but I have to budget my time accordingly. Right? I have to learn to budget my time. I have to learn to know where do I invest my time. And that, again, that requires thoughtfulness. That requires you to be mindful and to be proactive about time. Because if you don't control your time, time will control you. Come on. So unmanaged time comes under the influence of dominant people in your world. I remember when my daughter, when she was really, really young, she's still young, but when she was like two, I would be in my room, and on Sunday mornings, my time, I spend that time preparing for ministry, right? So I spend more time just going over my notes, praying, meditating, seeing if God wants to say anything specifically. And so what happens is when I'm in that prayer time, I'll be in my room, and what used to happen was Peyton would come into the room while I'm on the floor, and she would just kind of just sit on my back or something, or start playing with my head while I'm on the floor. And I used to get annoyed because I used to try to wake up early enough that she wouldn't come in the room. But it's like every time I woke up, it didn't matter. Like 10 minutes later, she'll wake up and just come in the room with me. All right? So I used to get mad. I'm like, God, can't you just send an angel or something to keep her asleep until I'm finished praying? Keep put her in a deep sleep, Lord, until I finish. And then I was praying, the Lord said no. Teach her to value the time that you spend with me. And so what I did was, the next time she came and I said, Peyton, I'm praying. Do you want to pray with me? The first time she knelt down and she laid right next to me and she was, you know, praying with me. But then after the second time, she just stopped coming in. Now she understood I'm in prayer. So there'll be times she'll come and she'll just kind of like kneel down with me, but most of the times she's like, all right, daddy's praying. I don't feel like praying. Okay? But I have to teach her instead of getting upset. All right? So this is me going to my next one. Number three, unmanaged time surrenders to the demand of all emergencies. Unmanaged time surrenders to the demand of all emergencies. Okay? When you don't manage your time, everything is an emergency. Because you can't differentiate your priorities. So if I know there's a priority today for me to finish X and take care of this, this is a priority. So anything else, I can now use that to gauge whether or not that's more important than what I said I gotta take care of today. That priority. Right? But if you don't have anything set as a priority, then everything falls in the category of an emergency. So that's why, for example, if spending time with God is not a priority to you, you'll never have time to spend time with God. Because everything else will come over, flow into that time, right? So the minute you say, Lord, I'm going to spend from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock with you, all of a sudden, you remember, wait a minute, there's some clothes in the dry cleaners I didn't forget. The dry cleaner's about to close. Let me go get it. All of a sudden, somebody else calls you and say, hey, I want you to come with me to King's Plaza. I want to pick out something. And I have to get it done by tomorrow. Their emergency becomes your emergency. But the time you said, hey, I'm going to spend with God from 6 to 7, it's no longer a priority. So you have to intentionally say, this is the time I'm going to set with God. This is the time. If prayer or consecration, you want to make that a priority in your life, you have to prioritize that and allow nothing to come in the way of that unless a legitimate emergency comes, like a car accident or something. Right? But other other people's emergency can be an emergency. You guys follow me? Let me give you these two more principles. Number four, always set a deadline for yourself. Okay, this is big for me. I'm learning this. But what I've learned to do, is that in order for me to achieve anything, to accomplish things in my life, and as basic as, let's just say, there's an email that I want to send out to the church by a certain time, I have to set a deadline for myself. Okay? See, when you work for yourself, many of you want to become entrepreneurs, and you want to begin to work for yourself and leave your job, guess what? This is probably the most important principle you're going to have to learn, is learning how to manage your time. Because when you have a job, you clock in at a certain time, you leave at a certain time, someone else tells you how to use your time. But when you work for yourself, you don't have anybody telling you to wake up on time. You don't have anybody telling you you got to go to sleep at a certain time, so when you wake up, you have the energy to do what you got to do the next day, right? So you got to learn how to give yourself deadlines. And how deadlines work is this. Deadlines have to have rewards and consequences. So it's not enough to just say, I'm going to do it by this time. What's going to happen if you don't do it by that time? You got to give yourself a consequence. And this is what's going to happen if I do it by this time, reward yourself. So, for example, I had a PS4 that my wife bought me about 2 years ago that I probably spent the whole year not playing just because I just felt like I didn't have time to do it. And so what happened was, like, you don't got time for games? And I know I needed to, what I began to do is actually build into my schedule a fun day. What I mean by that is a day where I just do stuff that don't have anything to do with what I'm supposed to be doing. Because if you don't budget fun or relaxation or recreation into your life, for somebody like me, I'm a workaholic. I read and study, and I'm always looking for ways, to find ways to become better at what I do, to enhance my speaking, to develop our church. I'm always thinking about the church, right? When you're out playing and working out, I'm thinking about the church more than likely. When I'm working out, I'm thinking about the church, all right, and praying about it. I'm invested 100% into growing our church and reaching more people for the kingdom, okay? But along with that, I still need to incorporate in my own schedule quiet time. Not time, quiet time with God either, just my time. And that's important. Time where I can enjoy something that takes my mind off of my work. Right? It's called rest. So what I began to do was, as a reward and a consequence, was if I have three things that I want to do today, I won't play my video game until that work gets done. And if I don't finish it today, that rolls over into tomorrow. And I don't get a chance to play. But I really have one day in a week where I just say, hey, I'm just going to play. Okay? And I do that just to get my mind off my stuff. But that is a reward for me. You get what I'm saying? And if I don't do the work I'm supposed to do, I don't play the game. So you got to know what's a reward for you. And what you're going to evaluate as a consequence, that I say, hey, if I don't get this done by a certain time, if I don't finish the laundry by 1 o'clock on Saturday, I'm not going to go to that event that I want to go to at 3 o'clock. Come on, right? That's setting deadlines and consequences. Last principle. You ready for this? Mary Kay. Anybody know Mary Kay, the cosmetic line? Mary Kay, one of the most successful entrepreneurs. Female entrepreneurs of all time, she was asked one day, what was your most important habit? What was your most important habit that you can contribute to your success? Do you know what she said? She said, plan your day before the day comes. She didn't say it like that, but that's how I phrased it. But what she did was, she said, every night before the next day, she made a list of 5 things she will accomplish the next day. She said, and she's been doing that until the day she died. She will spend the night before figuring out what are the 5 most important things that I need to get done tomorrow. And she will write a list of what she needs to do. And the next day, what she did, she went out and she attacked those five things. And doing those five things every day, she said, is what helped her to become successful. And I believe out of all the things I said, this is the number one thing that I want you to remember. What do you need to get done tomorrow? Tonight, before you go to sleep, whatever you've been procrastinating on, set a goal to say tomorrow. It don't have to be five things. It could be two things. It could be three things. These are the two or three things that I need to get done tomorrow, and I'm going to get done tomorrow. Give yourself a deadline. Tomorrow, I'm going to finish this. Be reasonable. If it can be done in a day, do it, right? So say, I'm going to set this goal, set this up as a goal. I'm going to accomplish this tomorrow. When you do that, the next day, you give yourself another two things or another two or three things that you're going to accomplish the next day. And if you didn't get to finish it tomorrow, that's going to roll over until Tuesday, until you get it done. You got it? And finally, make sure you set as a priority that you do the most important thing or the big task first. So out of the three, there might be one thing that's just the most important. All right, so make that the very first thing. Put that in, prioritize your list or put it in a level or put it in a category of urgency. So this is the most important thing I need to do. You got a job application you've been filling out, trying to complete. This is an urgency. It has to be in by a certain day. So you put that as the first important, most important thing. You put that at the top of your list and you make sure you get that done. Right? I think we can do that, right? Remember, success happens in little steps, little spurts of order, little spurts towards order every day create success. You don't have to, you don't got to do big, you know, try to create all these elaborate plans. I'm not a fan of big planning, like, you know, create this whole 3, 5, 10 year plan. I like to just plan out a few months in advance, if that much. But I just want to make sure that I get a handle for my weeks and basically my days. Because an organized day creates an organized life. Amen? Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask for the spirit of wisdom, the anointing for time management to come upon our church. Amen? Solomon said, it's a time for everything under the sun. So, Holy Spirit, I pray today that you will release a grace upon your people. Lord, we are determined to be more excellent. You told us to pray for order, and you asked us to ask that you will order our steps, that we will number our days, that we will be able to learn how to bring order in every area of our lives. And Lord, time works for you, and you want time to work for us. And so, God, teach us, God. Give us a new appreciation of time. Give us a new desire to honor time and not to waste time. Because if we're wasting time, we're wasting our lives. Lord, we only have one life to live. But we have time at our disposal for us to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, and to fulfill the commission, to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our destiny. And so, Lord God, I thank you for giving us the grace today. Enable us, God, to deliberately confront the spirit of procrastination that tries to keep us impoverished. We now push back the gravity of mediocrity, and we declare that an excellent spirit be released upon your church. For the righteous are more excellent than their neighbors. Father, make us excellent in our attitudes. Make us excellent with our time. Make us excellent in our organizational skills. May the gift of administration and helps work in our lives today, God. Lord, you are the master of time. You know what our days are supposed to look like. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to open our eyes to show us, God, how we can be more efficient, more productive on a day-to-day basis. And as we partner ourselves and we hook ourselves up to the principles of your word and the principles that will guarantee our success We won't find anybody to blame. We won't find anybody to look at to say, hey, they're the reason why we aren't more successful. No, we're going to look at ourselves and we're going to partner with you, God, and say, Lord, we're going to be a people of not only a people of presence, but we're going to be a people of principles. And we thank you, Lord God, for prospering us and releasing new miracles in the areas where we apply these principles. Hallelujah. And Lord, where we've wasted time before, we ask that you will redeem the time that many of us are where we have.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.